We are in the studio today, and this is a sad and nostalgic day for Sam Curtis, Anish Mago, and I, because it's our last time on the podcast, and it's a weird feeling, but today we thought it'd be best to use our time and just reflect on our 4 years at The Hustler, and we wanted to start off and just really thank everyone that's been reading our stories the past 4 years. It's been so fun, and we just wanted to share with you all what got us to The Hustler and why we loved it so much, so... You know, let's start it off, Sam, with you, and if you could just talk about what got you to The Hustler and sports journalism out of high school.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't write at all in high school, like in terms of for my school newspaper, which I think is the path that sometimes people follow, but I just love sports and knew I wanted to work in it, so I just wanted to get a taste of it however possible. And I mean, being in the SEC and being like competing in those sports was a big pull for Vandy for me. So, I mean, I did like the... It was during COVID for all of us, so I did like the online like club fair or whatever, and just was like, all right, I guess I'll like try this out. And the then editor, Simon Gibbs, who is amazing, kind of, you know, told me to join, come on, and I took a story with one of the deputy editors. It was about a feature about this linebacker named Andre Mintz, who like, I mean, he did kind of film stuff, so he made it around that, but I co-bylined that, and then just like... started taking soccer pieces, started taking any pieces I could. And by sophomore year, I kind of was more ingratiated into the whole thing. And when people went abroad, I took an editor position. And that's when things really stepped up, I think, when I, because I was working for football by that time. So I could really only cover, or the main sports I could cover, basketball and baseball. And so winter season, spring season in my sophomore year, when I was an editor, an assistant editor for the first time, I really like stepped things up and kind of gained a love for like being able to be in press conferences and go to games and especially write opinion pieces, which was always my favorite.
Yeah, for me, kind of similar to Sam, I was never into journalism in high school. It was never something I was really interested in. I honestly love sports, but never saw myself ever writing about them. And then over summer, it was COVID, before our freshman year, I remember there was an info session. I was like, I do want to be involved in campus. I do love sports. You know, why don't I just try this, see how I like it? Ended up going to one of those sessions. Again, Simon, I think, was probably just a really good recruiter, but I think he made us all feel like this is a really special opportunity. And I kind of just ran with it. I thought, you know, what's the worst that happens? I write a little bit, I don't like it, and I never come back. Or on the flip side, maybe I can have a hustler career like I ended up having. I think it's been a super special experience for me. Super grateful I kind of took that leap, and it's just been great. But yeah, that's kind of how I got involved.
That's really cool. Yeah, for me, it was a lot different. I actually started later than Anish and Sam. So I, in high school, starting sophomore year of high school, I wrote sports blogs for this company called FanWide. And the premise of the company was very pre-COVID-esque. It was finding sports fans in a remote bar. So say you're a Boston Red Sox fan in Seattle and you want to go to a watch party together. So I'd write blogs about the Boston Red Sox and why you should be a Boston Red Sox fan. That's an example. So I did this for like 2 years, and it was an alumni of our high school, and he recruited students, and it was really fun. I did it with like my best friends, and did it until senior year of high school. But when I got to Vanderbilt, I never thought of that as like writing, as like journalism. So I really kind of took more of a podcasting route. I did a podcast with four other friends called the Vandy Blitz, and we did that for about a year. And in December or January, one of the co-hosts, Ethan Wacker, who you guys all probably know, who's a Disney star, was a Disney star. He was writing for The Hustler, and he was talking to me about it. He's like, this is an amazing opportunity. It's really cool. I said, wow, I'd really, really like to do that. And this was around January 10th. We're at lunch at COVID outside on a tent.
God, he's got the receipts.
At Commons. No, I'll never forget. And then he said, you should really try. You should reach out to this guy, Simon Gibbs. I reached out to Simon. My first article was a co-byline golf piece. I forget the name of the writer. And then it was a single byline of a lacrosse game against Central Michigan where they won. I remember that. And This was like, it was remote, but it was for us, for me, it was a way to find a sense of community, which I think we all really needed during a time of COVID and uncertainty. And I think from there, I just kind of ran with it, kind of like all you guys, and it was really fun. I think now we should talk about, you know, our favorite memories at the Hustler.
Yeah. I would say my favorite memories have been like some of the press conferences. Honestly, the Shea Ralph first press conference, like, or at least the first game I went to. I don't think it was the introductory. It was like kind of one of the first like games they played. And I talked to her, but she talked more generally about the team and where she sees the program growing and stuff like that. And I was just so inspired. Like, I could tell immediately. And it really set a bar for like every other coach. And like, I've talked about this before on the podcast and in general, the Hustlers, like, you know, just like in a relationship, you know, like, you know, and like with a coach, it's like you talk to them and you're just like inspired and you just know, or at least, you know, if they've got a chance, because I also love like Clark Lee and like, you know, who knows if things are going to pan out, but that's a more complicated thing. But at least like, I feel like he has a shot versus like you talk to a coach and like, you know, if they're not inspiring, it's just, there's no way it's going to work out. But with her, you saw the vision. You were inspired by her energy and you were just like, this was the right hire.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. Mine would have to be last year, the win over Florida at home.
Oh, yeah.
That was just,
were you there for it?
Yeah, yeah. So I was in town a little bit later, I think, than I normally am, because I think everyone went home on that Friday. Game was on Saturday, and me and former sports ed Bryce Smith covered the game. And I remember just looking around the press box, him and I, and we're just like, is this happening? Is this going to happen? So many special plays that game. It was just a crazy atmosphere. And I remember at the end of the game, Bryce was just like so hyper, which is, I mean, it was awesome. He was so hyped up. And he asked me, he's like, dude, I got to go storm the field with these guys. Like, can you edit the rest of this piece and post it for me, please? Like, yes, dude, of course. And seeing him so happy after, you know, all he's given the Hustler was a super special experience. And that was definitely one of my favorite memories from my time at the Hustler.
That's really, really cool. I think, too, Bryce was the type of guy, he was one of the most even keel people I ever met, so I would have loved to see him that hyped up. That would have been really, really cool.
That was awesome.
I think for me, it was probably going to Hawaii for a week. That was amazing experience.
Of course.
Alan George asked us, does anyone want to go travel with the team, miss syllabus week, which is, you know, known at Vanderbilt as one of the most infamous fun week of partying. And I was like, wow, this is a tough thing to weigh out. But I realized that in 10, 15 years, I would regret not going on a free trip to Hawaii. And my task the whole week was enjoy the day, have fun, explore, and then just go to practice, write about it, and tweet. And it was really, really fun, and I think that really helped me kind of catapult my way into the position I'm in today, because it was just so much experience of talking to student-athletes and coaches. And a lot of the time there in Hawaii, I was the only person asking the questions. So it really taught me to be over-prepared, and it was a really, really amazing experience. And then also this year, I would say all the times we traveled, from going to Tennessee to Ole Miss and to Wake Forest. You know, me and Anish did a drive to Wake Forest, 7.5 hours, that I don't know if many people would do, to watch them lose by 24 points, but it was so fun. We had a lot of fun on the ride. We talked about, you know, BJ Anderson's terrible tackling for at least an hour and a half. And just, it was a lot of fun. And like, these are the type of experiences that no one can ever take away from us. And it was really, really unique. It was fun. So let's talk about also favorite like stories you guys have written over your time here.
I, like I said, I love my columns and my opinion pieces. And I'm trying to think of a specific one, to be honest. I mean, some of the later, both the men's basketball one that I wrote when their season, I mean, was definitely going downhill, but wasn't completely tanked yet. I kind of really ripped into like them just having no offensive identity or really a defensive one. So that was a fun piece to write, because I feel like I had really something to say, versus like other times you'll like, I mean, you know, 2 years ago when women's basketball had 7 players to play, you were writing some and they were just losing. You were like, I don't really know how much else to say on the third column in a row when the same problem is just that they don't have enough players to put out there. But I liked that. And then I liked my most recent baseball piece. That was actually the first baseball column I had written, because we were abroad. Mm-hmm. Last year, and then we didn't really write 3 up 3 down sophomore year. So that was a fun piece to write, because that was the first, like, you know, Memorial Minutes-esque piece that I got a chance to look at.
When you wrote the 3-Up, 3-Down, did you have a similar type of mentality as you do with Memorial Minutes?
Yeah. I mean, it starts with the film, but it starts with the stat sheets as well. And I think for baseball, I was a little more reliant on the stat sheets just because of how
often they play.
How quantified baseball is in general. True. I mean, it's different just because it's the same opponent three times, you know, versus like Memorial Minutes is three different opponents. You know, I covered the LSU for baseball, but for basketball, it'd be LSU, Mississippi State, and Georgia.
Right.
So, it was interesting to kind of focus in on one opponent, but yeah, it was a similar process.
Yeah. For me, I kind of agree with Sam. I think all of the Memorial Minutes I wrote were my favorite. I think basketball is just my favorite sport to cover and watch. I used to play basketball. So just really into college basketball generally. So all those, I think the one I wrote in January this year when I was pretty fed up with the team and I had some opinions on coaching, I think that was my favorite piece of writing I've ever done just because it's something I felt really strongly about. And then maybe a little bit of foreshadowing here, but Andrew and I got lunch with new coach Mark Byington yesterday. It was incredible, great experience, and we will be releasing a piece on that shortly, and I think I'm really excited for that. So I'd say those are kind of my two favorites, or one favorite and one that will be my favorite after this.
I actually just realized as well, I think this past week I wrote maybe my favorite piece I've ever
written. Oh, yeah,
yeah, Hayball. Completely forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the NFL draft previews, Matthew Hayball, the punter. I have been a fan of his just because, like, I researched punting kind of before, and he is a sick punter and, like, one of the best players that Vanderbilt has produced, unironically, in the last, like, decade. So I got a chance to look at that. That was an amazing piece.
Awesome piece.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say for me, I always loved focusing on the feature articles, really seeing what the players are like outside of the court, outside of the field. And my first football feature was Anfernee Orji my junior year. And this was really fun for me because Anfernee, his brother, by the way, is going to be the starting quarterback at Michigan next year, likely, unless they get someone in the transfer portal.
I did not know that.
That's Alex Orji.
How much younger is he?
He's going to be a junior.
Wow, okay. That's really cool.
So that's a cool story for people that are big Michigan fans. But Anfernee was the type of guy that was pretty quiet on the field but known to be a great leader. He's on the Saints practice squad right now, and it was really fun to talk about what he's like outside of just a player. And to give people context, the feature was written about 2 or 3 weeks after he had a SportsCenter top 10 play where he strip sack fumbled the Missouri quarterback and everyone went crazy. And that was one of my favorite features. I really also like featuring Bella LaChance, who was kind of like an unsung hero for the women's basketball team this year. She was rarely on the court, but she was always like the Monmouth bench basketball team. She was always like the first to celebrate and the first to galvanize the troops. That was really fun. And I also love my brunches, specifically my last, where it was kind of a rally cry and showing that as bad as the Vanderbilt football season was, there is future. And with NIL and with Clark Lee in his fourth year, hopefully they can make it to a bowl game. And it was really, really fun. And I think this is a good way to transition.
I was just going to quickly say that those are hard to write too, because it's mostly just you writing them. Yeah. So you don't want to be, you know what you've written and you don't want to be self-redundant, but it kind of, especially this season, was the same thing a little too much.
And it's like, I'm not relating myself to an athlete, and like, I'm not relating us to an athlete, but anytime one or two like comments on Twitter or something like this, like, oh, this is too harsh, this is too not, like, that might get to you in a sense. And it's really important to like stay strong and like stay true to your values. And also it's really important, you're writing articles, but you also don't want to break relationships. I think when Anish talked about his Memorial Minutes, I had a similar experience a few weeks later. Like, I'm sure Jerry Stackhouse read that article.
Right.
I mean, thousands of people read Anish's article.
I got blocked by Stack for a while.
I got blocked by Stackhouse. And like, those are the type of experiences you need to do your job, but also you don't want to break relationships.
Yeah. No, that was always the tough thing of opinion pieces, where it's like, I mean, I just talked to this guy. I looked this guy in the face, and like sometimes like ripping in is just like, God, he's 0-for-4 and at the plate, and he's got no eye for the ball. And you're just like, I mean, like, it's hard to really single people out. So,
yeah.
I mean, typically I try to look for the more underlying trends, but you're right.
But I think that also kind of reflects a theme that I think has been so unique to us as student journalists here, is that, you know, you go to most SEC schools, or really I could say every other SEC school, and there are tons of media members covering them, different outlets, whatever. Like, if we go to a basketball press conference, it's usually two of us and maybe three others.
That's it.
You get a lot of FaceTime with, you know, SEC players, coaches, I mean, I'm sure Jerry Stackhouse knew all of us just from how much we were in there. Shea Ralph, as you mentioned, definitely knew you, definitely knew Aiden. Like, it's pretty cool that you get that type of experience, but what comes along with it is a lot of pressure in maintaining those relationships, especially when you want to say something that's maybe not so positive.
What type of things do you guys think you've learned from the press conference experiences of just, you know, talking to a professional, and how do you think that's going to translate in the real world?
I'll just say, like, I don't know, this is a wider like answer kind of what the Hustlers taught me. First of all, I've served as, you know, a regular writer, but then also assistant editor, deputy editor, and a copy editor. So, I mean, I've kind of done the rounds there, and that's taught me, you know, the intricacies of writing and of leadership. And I've seen now a couple different, you know, editors and their different processes, both how, because we're a section within the Hustler, we're a section within a section. So like how we work as a sports editor and watching how they lead, and then how they're dealing with their kind of the wider umbrella of like the Hustler's managing editor. So it's been interesting to see that stuff. And press conferences more specifically, I mean, it's just like, it's honestly all of HOD and all of like just learning how to be like understand when to BS a question, or like how to, you know, how to get them just talking, and knowing also like who you're dealing with, and yeah. Being cautious and smart with that stuff. I mean, yeah, like I've learned a bunch of different stuff from the Hustler, not just like good writing, but like when, what to say and to who.
Yep, totally agree with all that. I think for me, my writing has improved a lot just because of the amount of reps we get.
Yeah, 100%.
One other thing I'd say is I think what I've learned a lot about, and what I think will be applicable to all of us, is how much, how important it is to be able to effectively teach something to someone. So for example, like we've had a lot of experiences where you're with a younger writer and you have to tell them, you know, how do you write a game recap? How do you phrase this? How do you put quotes in? How do you tweet about a press conference? How do you do all this? And I think when I first started on the ed board as a junior, I think I was pretty bad at that because honestly, I was more used to being on the other side of the coin where people were explaining things to me and I was trying to pick up on it. But I think what I've learned over the last year, especially, is kind of how to show someone how to do something effectively and enable them, you know, just in certain skills.
Absolutely. I think what you all have said is absolutely true. Going back to what Sam said, you need to have a somewhat of a competent emotional intelligence when you're in this job, and the soft skills, because you know, when me and Anish are with Mark Byington or something like that, you need to be able to be empathetic and listen to what the other people are saying and be personable. And that's so important in the real world. You know, what Vanderbilt, I think, teaches you, a lot of people, they have the smartest kids, but they also have people that can be social and talk to people. And that is really, really important. And the Hustler just kind of strengthens and emphasizes that opportunity. So I think that's all great. So let's transition to, you know, what we're doing next year, if we want to talk about it, and just, do you think you're going to be watching Vanderbilt Athletics games?
I can start. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be working in sports. I'm going to be doing consulting.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about what you're doing next year, do you think you'll go back to sports eventually?
Yeah. Ideally, I think I would like to see myself in, maybe not specifically sports, but I do think working with some media entertainment company, like maybe one of the big four leagues in the U.S., would be an awesome experience, but definitely not going right into sports directly after. You know, hopefully down the road I'll come back to it. And if I'm going to be watching Vandy sports, yes, absolutely I will. I think after 4 years of being very dialed into everything from Vanderbilt soccer, lacrosse, volleyball to basketball, football, I think I'm definitely going to remain a fan. And, you know, we're probably going to have less time next year to be, you know, keeping up with all this, but I'm very excited to remain a huge Vandy fan.
Yeah. I'm also not working in sports. It was originally what I was intending on doing. I'm working in retail fashion at Abercrombie, but I intend to come back to sports 100% one way or another. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but in my head, I'd love to coach something, even like high school football, high school soccer, you know, maybe on a higher level eventually, but that's kind of like down the line, maybe some retirement plans, who knows? depends on how things go. Yeah. But yeah, of course I'm going to be a Hustler fan. First of all, I'm going to make sure I stay tuned in to all of the articles we're putting out, because I think that's one thing that, like, I talk to friends and they're like, why do you know so much about Hustler sports? I'm like, look, some of it's just like going to our weekly meeting and hearing everyone talk about like golf and tennis. And obviously I'm reading all the pieces for like editing as well, but like still,
right.
You get a ton of info there. So I'll be a Hustler fan first and foremost, but of course, like, I have a ton of school pride, and I'll be watching all the games I can. Probably more basketball, hopefully with a better outlook, hopefully. Idea. Yeah. Same with football, but that's yet to be seen.
You know, from the 2021 fall to the 2023 fall, you didn't see Sam writing about football because he was working for the football team and scouting, and you never know, you could go back to that, which I'm sure was a really amazing experience.
It was awesome. You definitely have to, it's one of those things, you know, you restart in the ground floor, so that's like another kind of reset of the career button, which is definitely possible, but it's just a decision. That
did you ever think about scouting full-time, or was it more of just a hobby or something you wanted to kind of flesh out?
100%. I mean, that's my, before I kind of stumbled upon the job that I have now, which was just happenstance, kind of luck, is my idea was to work in a front office of some kind of NFL team, and or honestly, one of the big four leagues or soccer team. And a lot of that starts with scouting. It's definitely tough because, I mean, you talk to these guys, and college scouting is a little different, but for a lot of the pros especially, you're on the road a lot of the year, and it takes a while at the same pay grade before you get the step up, because you're making good money when you're in the front office, but until you're there, right, you're a junior scout, it's kind of pennies, because there's a lot of people who want to do it.
Yep.
So it's a lot of years of that, and that was always a tough pill for me to swallow, but that was kind of where the path I was headed down until I got lucky here. So it's definitely something I want to keep up and go back to.
Yep, makes sense.
We all have just 1 week left being a part of the Hustler. May 1st, it's a new editorial board. We graduate on May 10th. You know, it might be hard to encapsulate and put it in words, just summarizing 4 years, but, you know, pieces of advice you guys would give to younger writers, or even, you know, younger Vanderbilt students of, you know, college, and also being involved in sports journalism, having a balance, and just really trying to make the most of, you know, the tuition and everything at Vanderbilt.
Why don't you share your future plans?
I'll go.
No. Share your future plans.
I didn't tell you that. Yeah. I'm staying in sports. I'm working for the NFL, which should be great. But I'm not working in journalism, which I think was, you know, a big debate for me. I was really like, I loved writing. And I don't talk about it much, but in middle school, before high school, my writing was my worst part of academics. I was a math guy. I was very typical, like math, science. I didn't like writing at all. And I totally made that switch in high school. But I wouldn't say I was ashamed, but I was like, I wasn't proud to say like, oh, I enjoy writing. I didn't think it was something like, oh, I like writing. It wasn't something I said a bunch. Right. And so that's something that I really didn't start saying until sophomore year. And I think for me, the Vanderbilt Hustler was a great way for me to have a playground. I would say it took me at least 50 articles to feel comfortable in my own writing.
I was going to say, I can not attest to that point, but how much you've improved in terms of, like, you were never a bad writer, I think, but like, I was editing pieces from sophomore spring, and I remember editing your pieces and like what it is now. And it was never bad. I want to make that clear, but it's night and day of how much better it is and how good you are now. I think it's just a test. Like,
I appreciate that. Yeah. And it's about anything. It's like, if you're not practicing, you're not going to get better. You're going to get rusty. And I think a lot of the sophomore spring type things, it was like I was missing on AP style and stuff like that. And I think whether it would be Sam or Justin or Bryce and whoever was reading my article was very patient with me, because I knew once I become a good writer, like, I'm going to put in the time. And I think that's where I really found my groove toward the end of junior year and senior year. So I would say just it took a while, but it was something that doesn't happen overnight. That's something, one thing. That's a piece of advice I would say is, like, great things don't happen overnight. It takes time, and I think the Hustler is a great symbol of that.
Yep, totally agree. Thinking about advice, I would say the first thing, or big point I want to make, is that I think there are a lot of opportunities to step out of your comfort zone in college, and I think the Hustler is one for me, and one I'm super grateful, or an opportunity that I'm super grateful that I took. I think when I came into it, I didn't know how to write, really. I mean, I knew how to write. I wasn't good at writing. I'd never done journalism. I just liked sports as a hobby. I didn't know anybody in the Hustler. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I think 4 years later, I think I can confidently say that I feel like I'm a good sports writer. I know a lot about the sports. I have created relationships through this. I have a bunch of friends now, and you guys, that I didn't have 4 years ago when I started. There's just so many things that I think the Hustler has given me. So I'd say definitely stepping out of your comfort zone is a big thing. And it was definitely a way, or definitely something that enhanced my college experience a lot. So very happy to say that I did join. And that's a piece of advice that I have.
Yeah. I mean, you guys both kind of crushed it. Rome was not built in a day for sure. As Andrew said, and, I think my big thing is just like, maybe it's a little bit about perspective and a little bit about luck. And this is like from college in general, and Hustler's a huge part of that for me. So I'll count it. But like so many things you just never know. I mean, I just talked about my job, but even just like Andrew getting the Hawaii opportunity, Jace going to Las Vegas with the bowling team, like you never know when these things are going to come along, and it's just about luck. And I think everything, and in life, you're going to get unlucky and you're going to get lucky, and you're going to be like, when you're unlucky, you're like, why do bad things happen to me? And when you're lucky, you kind of, I think we sometimes take it for granted. So I think it's a matter of perspective, of a glass half full versus half empty. That, you know, being resilient when you get unlucky and know that things balance out, you know, like be resilient, you get something bad, you get unlucky, and that's fine. You move on. And when you're lucky, you're grateful for that opportunity and you pounce on it. Just like Anish said, is that you have to take advantage of those times when you do get a good opportunity.
No, absolutely. And I think this is what people need to learn about the world we're living in, sports journalism. I think people are always on their phone, always on social media, not, you know, you watch a game, you can watch a highlight in 2 minutes. You can go to House of Highlights and watch how the Knicks beat the Sixers. Most people won't read a recap.
Oof,
or
yikes.
Whatever it is. All right. I had to drop that. But my point is, it teaches you to learn the skills that you need that I think is being lost in sports journalism today, right? Like, a lot of us might be getting more likes on a tweet than views on a post, and how do you value that? And it really shows to just value the process, value the detail. And that's the biggest thing that I would say is value the detail, value the process. And that really helped me translate into a leader. You know, being a leader in anything is known as a very thankless job. But once you focus on the people and the people you're working for and the people that you want to help grow, you're going to feel fulfilled. And that's something I learned that will totally help me translate. Like, I don't need to be the best writer on the staff, but if I'm the best committed, and I love it the most, and I want everyone else loving it just as much as I do, we're going to produce great things. And I think that's what I can say about this year.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to the sports adage of, you know, talent doesn't work. You know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
It's true.
And yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You could be the most athletic guy, and if you're not putting in the time and often don't have the best attitude, that, you know, that's going to sell you. So I think that's, it's right what you said. I got one question real quick.
I was going to say, any last things?
Yeah, I got one question. As I was just thinking about when we were talking about our favorite stories, one thing I'm proud of here is that the prediction pieces, we would always do the World Series prediction, Super Bowl prediction, college football playoff prediction. And I was just wondering, like, how do you guys think you did? Because I feel like generally I had a pretty good record. Other than the Stackhouse thing, which honestly, that's the New Year's resolution. I said that Tyron Lawrence and Stackhouse would both be back for the next year, and evidently they are not. But
Vandy's going to win a bowl game, so I'll be right with you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But yeah, how do you guys think you did in those?
I think I was pretty good. I think I had the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I think I had, I predicted the whole Final Four right on the pod a couple weeks ago, which I was happy about.
Before the tournament started?
No.
Oh.
Before the Final Four. So okay. Not too much. Yeah, I think it was okay at it. I think I had Jason Rivera Torres as SEC Rookie of the Year in that New Year's piece, and that is, well, it definitely didn't happen, and he's also going to leave probably, so not too high on that one.
I think I was always good in the college football ones. I had Michigan winning this year. I think I had Georgia the past 2 years, so felt pretty good about that, and that was always fun. Any last things to send off our Vanderbilt Hustler podcasting experience?
Would just say that super grateful for both of you. I think you made this experience a lot better for me, and I'm happy I was able to get a lot closer with you. And, you know, maybe we're all going to go our separate ways in terms of not doing sports journalism after, but it's been a great ride.
Yeah. Anish took all the good words, but I would echo that. And it's crazy to be sitting here, like, thinking about my first podcast. I think I stumbled over my words about 10 times a second.
It's nerve-wracking.
It's so nerve-wracking. And you're talking to just your friends here, no one, but it feels like you're talking to the world. So just so grateful for the opportunities that I've been given, and you guys and the connections I've made.
Right back at you guys. I seriously love you guys both, and I love every writer, you know, that we've worked with this year. that I've worked with a lot. I'm not going to say, you know, I love everyone, but someone that's written one article that I've met once, I do love them. I haven't developed enough experience to really say that, but it's been a lot of fun and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
And so, thanks Henry for being here and producing this podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Henry. Yeah. And thank you all so much for listening.